Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Reverend Ivy Rivera, Psychic Medium's Ask a Medium show here on Academy Talk Radio. We are live on the air from our studio in the Ivy League Psychic Academy in Amherst, New York. Reverend Ivy Rivera has designed this show in the expectancy that it will reach those who are ready to receive the knowledge being taught here at exactly the right moment, in synchronicity with your spirit. Ivy encourages all listeners worldwide to attend classes electronically or in person at the Ivy League Psychic Academy, where we are raising up the next generation of lightworkers. For a full listing of classes, visit ivyleaguepsychicacademy.com, and to book with Ivy, visit ivyriverapsychicmedium.com or find her on Facebook. Hi everyone, I am Teresa Matuzak, or most know me as Tree. I am your host for this week's show, and I am one of the assistant teachers here at the Academy. Each show, there is one of three assistant teachers that will be hosting, either Brittany Rose, Amanda, or myself. I am here sitting with fellow assistant teacher and my guest for this evening, Brittany Rose. How are you, Brittany?
I am wonderful. I've been waiting all week for this. I'm so excited. I hope we get lots of callers so I can meet some of our listeners.
Right? This should be a good show. I think this will be a really good
Definitely.
Show.
Definitely.
We are taking your calls tonight, the whole hour on anything psychic, mediumship, spiritual, paranormal, and topic related. The number to call in is 646-668-2352. Again, that number is 646-668-2352. So before we get to this week's topic, I would like to mention some classes and events we have coming up here at the Academy, and Brittany is going to help me hammer these out. There's quite a few.
The first one we have lined up will be Empathic Means. That's on Wednesday, April 12th, and that's from 7 to 9 p.m. The cost is $30, and it is also Skype optional.
Then we have the master's class for Psychic Mediumship Development Level 2 certified graduates on Thursday, April 13th from 7 to 9 p.m. That is $30 and also Skype optional.
We also have Discover the Chakras, the Sacred Centers of Inner Wisdom with Chakra Shaman Nicole Petroff, and that'll be Monday, April 17th, 7 to 9:30, and the cost is $25.
And then there's Crystals 101 with me, Teresa Matuzak, April 20th. It is $35. This is a pre-registered class, so please register by April 13th if you would like to be in the class, and seats are limited as well.
And we have Introduction to Chakra Therapy with Chakra Shaman once again, Nicole Petroff. And that one will be Monday, April 24th from 7 to 9:30. The cost is $25. Please keep in mind the Discover the Chakras class on April 17th is a prerequisite to this class.
Then we have Art of Tarot with Christina Del Rey. This is an 8-week class on Thursday nights starting April 27th, 7 to 9 p.m. It is $30 per class. It is also Skype optional. And please note that a Rider-Waite tarot deck is required for the class, so please bring that with you.
We have Coffee with Your Angels, Tuesday, May 2nd from 7 to 9 for $25, and that is Skype optional as well.
And then Meet Your Guides, Wednesday, May 17th, 7 to 9 p.m. It is $30 and is Skype optional. So a few events we're just going to list here that we have coming up.
Go ahead. Psychic Sundays at the beautiful Margin Manor in Appleton, New York. That would be April 30th is our next one, from 1 to 4 p.m. This event will feature graduates from the Ivy League Psychic Academy offering readings. Margin Manor is a gorgeous place with a lot of history, and I encourage everyone to stop by and see us for a reading. Teresa and I will be reading at this event, and we look forward to it.
Absolutely. We did Margin in, what was it, January? And it was a lot of fun. It's really cool. I mean, it's a small amount of time, but it is so cool to come in and really explore the place and just sit and give readings and
it's
so forth.
Beautiful drive out there, so it's a good Sunday.
It's out near New Thing. Just out Blackport. Yeah, Alcott Beach. Awesome. Okay, then we have Tag Gallery, which is Sunday, May 7th. This is free to the public, but seats are limited. So please text 716-602-1391 to reserve. This event takes place about every 8 weeks and was started by Brittany and myself a little over a year ago. And it's so much fun for us to get out and give messages to the people and with our fellow students for a chance to not only help others, but to help spirit as well. And it's in a group setting. So we started something new this last gallery, which is called a flower ceremony. You want to give a brief?
Basically what it is we will have a collection of flowers and we pick it up and we read the energy from the flower and where we're directed to. Spirit will lead us to an individual. We'll deliver the message and we'll also deliver the flower then to the person that spirit chooses.
And last but not least, Ivy Rivera's Silo City Psychic Fair on Saturday, September 23rd at the Buffalo Grain Silos in Buffalo, New York. It's a beautiful day of enlightenment with psychic mediums, tarot readers, Reiki healers, vendors, paranormal investigations later in day, and a few other events. Ivy will be doing her amazing gallery show. And we, Brittany and myself, will be doing private reads that day, as well as a tag gallery show, along with a couple other mediums from the Academy. Ivy is currently looking for vendors for this event. So if you are interested, please text Ivy at 716-602-1391. And before I get on to tonight's topic, I believe we have a caller waiting over here. So we'll... Hi, caller. You are on the air.
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you were doing readings.
Yes, we are. Can you give me your name and where you're calling from?
Sure. My name is Trish. I'm calling from Connecticut.
Hi, Trish. How are you this evening?
I'm great.
Ma'am, what's your question?
I am going to be looking for for a new job. I like what I do. I'm just looking to switch companies, and I was wondering if there were any messages about that.
Okay, one second. Yes, I do feel that switching companies would actually be a pretty good thing to do at this time, but I do feel that there is some stuff that you may need to take care of before you do so. Make sure that, like we like to say, all your ducks are in a row and everything is taken care of before you really move over. And when choosing that, because I'm almost seeing like two other opportunities here. So I want to say really like research those and see which one really fits you best. Like do the homework on that one before you really hammer it out. Brittany, are you getting?
I'm also seeing a slight move, not so much out of state or anything, but this job opportunity that will be beneficial to you looks like it's north and slightly to the west of where you are in your current town. So if there is an opportunity located in that area, that feels right to me.
Do you get any timing?
I'm almost feeling like this could be about 6 months out, I want to say. Like, and you could say maybe close to five, but I'm seeing more like 6 to 7 or so. Like you've got a little bit of time.
I was seeing 3 to 5. So I believe in 3 months it will start and it'll be like a slow transition and really take effect.
The process will pick up a little bit. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling. You have a great night.
You too.
Thank you. Okay. So. On tonight's topic, we are discussing personal energy pollution and protection, negative energy in our everyday lives, where it's coming from, how much we are causing, and how to remove and protect ourselves from it. Negative energy in our personal space and environment is ultimately really caused by two things, people and then beings or spirits that are negative. This is really difficult to have this topic without mentioning the other side of things, which are negative beings, entities, or spirits. But for this show, we are going to try our best to keep our focus on people and their own personal energy. Now, sadly, we live in a society that is very negative and judgmental, and a lot of people, especially empaths, suffer in relationships, whether be personal ones, job, work-related relationships, situations where people are surrounded by negative and toxic people in their energy, now, I know that can sound a little bit harsh because we all have our moments of being negative, but what we are really talking about are people who don't own or manage their own energy very well or really at all. They are not aware of their own negative thoughts. They don't manage them or their negative actions and are really just they're just really not aware of how it's affecting others around them. People just don't realize how much our own energy can manifest things. Like attracts like. So when thinking positive, you will have more positive results. When thinking in more of a negative manner, you will have more negative results. Sometimes people that are continuously being affected by it don't even notice it either due to constantly being around it. So this is really
kind of something. Very true. I mean, it's like a cycle. They almost get caught in and then they wonder what's wrong. They don't even realize they're the ones drawing in and pulling in all this negativity.
And even after some time though, too, is people don't even think there's anything wrong. Like they
totally
just
comfortable.
They get so comfortable. So we're going to break this down so that you can tell a little bit better if it is coming from someone else or if it is coming from you. And then later in the show, we're going to talk about different ways to clear it out and protect yourself. So if you suspect that you are in an environment or around a person or a small group of people that that are like this, make the time to really get away for even like a day, like a couple hours, but a day would really be better, and see how you feel or if you notice any differences. So now, how do we determine if it's us? Our own self that is causing the negativity or if it is another person. So some signs or ways to determine that it's either you who are the one causing it, the negative energy in the environment, if it is around you or if it is somebody else. So Brittany, you want to break this down for us?
Yeah, there are several different symptoms or patterns we realize or notice in person. First being, do you complain all the time or just sometimes? Second is, do you often discuss what's wrong in the world more than what's right? And also with using a negative tone or negative words. This includes terms like terrible weather, horrible traffic, idiotic government, lousy economy, stupid in-laws, etc.
That last one's pretty good, I'd have to say.
Yeah.
Stupid in-laws. I'm sure we all have those
pretty
moments
common.
Where we're like, seriously? Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree. Number three, do you criticize all the time or just certain people? Number four, are you attracted to drama and disaster? Can you glue yourself in the TV when there is a news story of a disaster? Or can you avoid getting involved in the lives of dysfunctional celebrities? Or are you glued to it?
Darn those Kardashians.
This is a National Enquirer drawing a three.
Right? Those newspapers on the side of the shopping, like when you go shopping and everything, like have all these things. Like I was just at Walmart and it's like, where's Richard Simmons? I'm like, I don't know. Where is he?
It's so nice to know, though. It's their problems and not yours. You can step away and it doesn't affect your life.
Right?
Your own little happy bubble. All right. Number five, do you blame all the time or just in certain situations? Number six, do you believe that you have no control over most of your results? Seven, do you feel like a victim? Do you talk about people doing things to you? Eight, are you grateful for what is or what will be grateful when things finally start going right for you? Nine, do you feel like things are happening to you or do you feel that they're happening through you? Now, here are some signs that you're either highly negative energy or low negative energy. For high negative energy people, yourself or others, may be having feelings of or are angry, fearful, anxious, defensive, resentful. These are the toxic people that are putting their ego out all the time, and even if you do address them with boundaries, their ego will override it. For low negative energy people, your sorrowful others may be having feelings of or are depressed, exhausted, burned out, hopeless, defeated, drained. They have more of an, oh, woe is me, poor me, Eeyore type personality.
So, you know, I'm sure everybody who's listening can really, or even you or myself, can really relate to just that last part alone about how people are always like, oh, what about me? Or, oh, poor me. Or, oh, I cut my finger. Yeah, well, look what I did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always kind of like a ho-hum, humdrum kind of a thing going on.
And it can. I've noticed certain days if I'm around someone, like an hour later, and I just have to catch it right before it starts and block their energy from affecting mine.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I end up having Eeyore day.
Yeah, I know. I get the Eeyore day, too. And so, yeah, so really, we're going to go and we're going to talk about blocking and stuff later too. But so again, if you suspect that you are in an environment or around a person like this, make the time to get away for even a day and see how you feel or if you notice any differences. We just need to be mindful because we get these types of people that we will refer to as like energy vampires. And they will really just kind of feel like they suck the life right out of you. And as a psychic, empath, medium, and light workers, we tend to attract these types of people the most and more than any other group. They can kind of just kind of latch on, hang on, and drain your energy, make you feel very depleted. And it could be like in the beginning of a day. It could be in the middle or even at the end of the day. It really kind of doesn't matter because when they're around,
it comes on fast.
It just comes on fast. Sometimes it can be like a slow little like, I'm about to get you. And other times it's like, bam, you don't know what hit you. And we don't even sometimes know what even came from them, really, because when it comes on quick.
They might not even say what's going on in their life. They're keeping it inside. We can still feel it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Situation.
Yep, absolutely. So they can seem like they are a sweet person, very sweet people, always willing to be there for you, can be rather giving. But the moment that they have to do something or give something to someone else with really no strings attached, or they can no longer take from your energy, they seem to disappear. Like, poof, they're gone. Or they are the type that only call you really to vent about themselves or their day. And the moment it's really your turn to talk, oh, they got to go. Click, bye-bye. There goes the phone. Hang it up. Or if you're with them, you know, they walk away.
Yeah, they don't like the positive energies. It's like they repel each other. So if you're in a really happy mood and they're in an angry mood, they tend to...
Yeah.
When you won't feed into their drama, they tend to back away.
They really do. And it's like I've been stuck in these situations too before where I'm on the phone with somebody I've known for years. And they'll call me and be like, my mom did this and this happened to me and my husband, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, you know, letting them yammer away. And then, oh, how are you? Oh, I'm good. You know, we did. Oh, I got to go. Like you get 2 seconds and like, bang, nothing. You know, I'm like, okay, bye-bye. So when all this is happening, we need to come to a point where we set boundaries. They really need to be confronted. Let them know that it's not working for you anymore. It's draining your energy out. You can just listen or deal. You can't listen or deal with it anymore. Yes, it can really be much easier said than done, depending on who you're dealing with and how close you are to them. But boundaries need to be set, and you need to start setting them. Yes, it's not always a great time once someone is confronted. It's never an easy conversation, never a comfortable situation, and they will come back with something like, oh, it's not me, it's all you, and you started it, or they'll come back with ego and place the blame back on you, or even blame someone else for their behavior. It's someone else's fault. Is the reason why
always
their situation is, you know, or their attitude, and yeah, always like it's never me, you know. Oh, I'm Queen of Sheba. I can't do anything wrong, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. Let them speak their piece, but at that point, you can see where it's really going, and then you have to make choices, and it's time to move on. Sadly, we will stay with. Sadly, it will just kind of be that way where, you know, we say to them different things. And if you're going to stay in it, the chances of them changing are rather low to unlikely. Yes, it's okay to try and encourage the situation to change, but you have to ask yourself, honestly, is it worth hanging on to and allowing them to make you feel the way that you do? Honestly, you know, we have to really kind of assess the situation and look at your energy and everything that's going on.
Protect your own energy.
Mm-hmm. And your environment, too, because depending upon if you're somebody who you're single or you have a family, children are very susceptible to others' energy. And you may even know a child who, or your own, who is, I don't like this person, and you can't understand why. Well, it's because they can already see and feel their energy and where it's going. And you're a mom. You've got
yeah.
Two
he'll
little
call
ones.
From school and tell me so-and-so's energy was against me today. I'm just like, well, that's okay. Bring your stones in your pocket tomorrow. We'll be okay.
So now I want to touch a bit on light workers and empaths. We always and always are attracting people who need us, and I use air quotes with us. They need us in some way, and they all seem to come from troubled backgrounds. Whether it can be some form of abuse, like physical, mental, sexual, they can also come from homes with or themselves have substance abuse and addiction issues. There's a lot of stress and unnecessary drama that comes from these types of people and in their environment. An empath and light worker, we really are magnets for these kinds of people in situations. For me, no matter what I did or where I went when I was in school, growing up, or even when I got my first job or second job, you know, working, I always found them, or should I say, they really always just found me. I always felt like I would never get away from it. I'd always be around these types of people. After a while, I started thinking that maybe it was me, like maybe I'm the problem. And I would always, you know, end up being the caretaker. So to speak. So Brittany, have you ever dealt with these or any types of people throughout your life?
Oh, definitely. In school, I was always, for some reason, my friends ended up being the ones that were always in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Or just, I don't know how, I didn't realize at the time that's what was happening, but I think they're probably drawn to me because they knew they could feel the healing energy and things like that. So they were drawn to me. Same with animals. We always had three animals showing up at the house, always in need, birds with hurt wings, kittens, things like that. And of course we took care of them. But then later in life at work, I would have a lot of people do the same thing at different jobs I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And that was where I really had to decide where the line was.
Because I
felt guilty not being able to save the world and help everyone. But there is a point where it begins to hurt you and boundaries do need to be set.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the most, I would say, part of my life that really kind of pulled on me as far as where I really started to notice energy was when I was in, I'd say, eighth grade. We had to move because of a house fire that we had, and we ended up moving to, like, the Kenmore-Tonawanda area. And I had went to a grammar school there to start my eighth grade process. And I'll tell you what, these kids were not welcoming. They did not want, you were different, you were from someplace else, your parent wasn't a doctor or a lawyer, so you were just, ew, stay away from me. And with their energy, the way that they were, even if they weren't looking at you, like, you felt unwanted.
It's like the ultimate test, though, because I'm sure it really picked up your skills in reading energy and things like that.
Oh, it certainly did. And then when I moved from there, because I spent about 3 months probably hiding in a bathroom during, like, one of those classes, and the teachers didn't find me until one day they did. but then we moved out to, like, Lancaster area, and those kids were so welcoming that I was terrified to go to school. And I didn't even want to give them a chance. But then when I did and I started letting things, you know, letting my guard down, there was a couple of kids who just kind of felt like almost like they searched me out, like I'm gullible or something like that, you know. And that's the other thing, too, is that when we have good positive energy, we can feel gullible to other people. Like we can just kind of seem like, oh, they're a pushover.
It's the innocence. I think that the higher energies hold. It's more of like a light, loving type energy. And a lot of people take that for granted or that they can take advantage of it, sadly, in this world.
So some people are aware of it and some people really just kind of aren't. Studies have shown that empaths are the number one group to attract narcissists and sociopaths as well. So we really are at risk and really do need to be mindful and know the signs. As psychic and mediums, it can be rather difficult to see the end result sometimes because we will feel love and kindness of the person, maybe like what they're capable of. With our empathic ability, being able to help them and just feel the love and the warmth coming from them and the good that can be there. We want to help, and as empaths who are natural healers, our energy wants to heal their energy. And it's really my theory, I don't know if you can tell me whether or not you agree on this, but it's really my theory that our energy doesn't really realize that it cannot heal or fix everyone. So
yeah, that's something you kind of have to learn. It's, it's tricky because sometimes we actually get hurt by it because mm-hmm. we feel like it bothers us when we can't save everyone, but to a certain level.
Yeah, no, it really can and really does get tricky, especially when you feel so drawn to them or compelled to help them. And it's like we want to be mindful and know enough is enough. Yeah.
Change is comfortable, uncomfortable. So a lot of times people don't want to change. And I think that's where it comes in is they have all the help around them and people do want to help them, but these individuals don't want to change. And it's that pushing and pulling that feels uncomfortable. And they, mm-hmm. it'll never end up happening. So.
Yeah, totally, absolutely. And I mean, that's exactly it. Like, that's a really good point, you know, about with that and also just the learning. Mm-hmm. You know, once we become, I think, a little bit more mindful and then we're kind of catching things a little bit, I think then we learn to be like, okay, what's this? I want to say, you know, test the waters
a
little bit.
Three times, and that's it. Three strikes, you're out.
Yeah, that number three, right? But, yeah, I want to say test the waters a little bit and just kind of, you know, play with it a little bit. But in the same sense, don't push things too far because if that's not happening and you are kind of a little on the paranoid side, like you don't want things to.
Yeah, you don't want their energy to end up affecting yours in the overall end. If you keep putting in,
mm-hmm.
it's just not getting any better.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So let us, since we already kind of dipped in a little bit with the school thing, so let's talk a little bit about our surroundings. You want to take this one?
All right. This is where it gets interesting because if you have everything figured out and you are positive and you set your boundaries and there's still negative coming in and around you, it can be coming from other places. And depending on the situations and surroundings, it can be residual. So everything and everyone has and gives off energy. I tend to look at it like giving off a very fine vapor trail. People, animals, plants, crystals, and so on give off energy. Some of us, empaths and psychics, can feel and sense it, and some cannot. Although we all can if we tried. If the energy in our everyday life doesn't get cleared out and builds up over time, it could lead to it just sitting there, becoming so stagnant and kind of just sits there waiting for something to happen. The energy can and will become stronger when a random argument, similar arguments, or events take place causing the initial argument. So even if it's small, it can escalate into something much larger and make things worse. Did you ever wonder why sometimes such a little thing can excite you so badly? An overreaction to something as tiny as a piece of paper hitting the floor, that can be residual energy kicking up. These fights, arguments, disagreements, can burn up and turn toxic. And when that happens, it can become a calling card for a negative entity, being or spirit, to inhabit the space.
Yeah. Like that's definitely kind of a big one. I just want to kind of kick in a little bit on that one. It's kind of like, let's say that, you know, you really don't know a whole lot about energy, or even if you're somebody who moves from place to place. And if you don't feel energy, you can move into a place where there may have been, you know, a pretty bad domestic situation going on and stuff like that. So with our energy really just kind of leaves trails, like we say, like vapor
like
trails,
pockets of energy, or
like pockets of energy. That energy can really just kind of sit there. And let's say an argument, like you said, like a little piece of paper or something hits the floor, and all of a sudden, why did you do that? Why did he pick it up? Are you going to pick it up now? And then you kind of wonder, like, you're like, whoa, where is this really coming from?
It's like that little pocket gets overly inflated and just not explodes, but it becomes something not conclusive in the environment.
Right, absolutely. And then when too much builds up over time, unfortunately, and like I said, we don't really want to touch a whole lot on this tonight, but it can be like what we call a calling card for those negative energies that are out there. And they are, whether you believe or not, they are out there. And if they see it, and if you are somebody who is not aware or slightly naive or maybe gullible, they're just going to pop right in.
Yeah, it's an energy source. So as soon as they see that, they're in like a buffet.
Yeah.
They'll come move right in.
It's party time. Bring the cake.
Okay. Also keep in mind, if your home is drama-free and fairly positive, any kind of negative energy surrounding your kids at school, at play, or at a friend's house, and anything surrounding your partner at work, their friend's place, or even at the in-laws, can come home with them. If you live in a multiple person dwelling, like an apartment building, complex, duplex, or anything like that, the energy again can be brought in with you, your kids, or your partner, even with the dog or cat. Energy from concerts, sporting events, movies, etc., again, can have an effect on us greatly. If there is a negative being that is roaring around, by maintaining a positive attitude, the energy level, along with clearing and cleansing, it will keep those negative things away, if not remove them altogether. More on clearing a little bit. Teresa and I want to ask you, do you ever have to deal with any of the stuff in your life or felt a similar situation as we've talked about?
Yeah, so definitely ask yourself, think about it and really ask yourself if you have dealt with this or if this sounds familiar, seems familiar. And I actually want to touch on about the whole concert sporting event.
It sounds cliche, but like a bar. I used to call it like spirits for drinks. But like a lot of spirits do hang out at bars. You'll notice like elevated fights and just like weird feelings. It's not even really solely from the alcohol. It's just from the people
it's a
that hang out
word,
there.
Really, yeah. And two was like, I used to go to a lot of concerts, or we used to call them shows, you know, back in the day, but like a lot of concerts and stuff. And with that energy, like people, like if it's the type where it's like a moshing, you know, going on or whatever, it built up.
Yes.
And it's just there. These concert goers or the owners of these places really don't know much, or some of them may not know very much about clearing that out. And it just really just builds up to where your next event where there might be a mosh pit, oh my God, people are throwing punches. They're getting
they sense it.
It just kind of builds up as the energy rises and everything else. And sporting events too, I don't know about you, but as an empath, like my father used to be a season ticket holder for the Buffalo Sabres NHL team. And I have been going to games since I was probably like 7 months old. So like being an empath and being in there, you're so excited because like it's the game and the ice and like the smell of the ice will get
it's
you
the second
along.
You walk in the door, it's like instantly wake up, even if you're really tired on the way there.
It's a shock to the system.
The smell of nachos maybe always wakes you right up.
Right. And then did you ever notice like the area where the concession is like one way, but then as soon as you walk through that hall and you see the ice, it's like, oh my God, it's like your eyes like
stream of energy
up.
Just pulls you right in.
Thousands of people in there, and God forbid a fight breaks out on the ice, because then you really start to feel like you want to go and punch somebody too. Like I have to say, with that energy swirling around,
everyone gets involved.
And it's like, I mean, it's great for the team, builds, you know, momentum, whatever, but for an empath, I want to die. I love my hockey, but I want to go home or even go in the hall and watch it on the
little break.
right? So we're going to move on to ways to help raise your vibration and be a little bit more positive with your own energy. Let's break this down. So take ownership of your energy. Know like where it's coming from, whether it's, you know, that it's definitely coming from you, and take responsibility for it. Here's a really great quote that I like from the Dalai Lama. When you think everything is someone's fault, you will suffer a lot. When you realize that everything springs from only yourself, you will learn both peace and joy.
I really like that. Like I've heard in the past too, like life is what you make it. And I think that goes along with that. Like be your own knight in shining armor, take your own course, own your energy, and things will go your way.
Definitely.
Right. You can, another way is to cancel negative thoughts and replace them with positive thoughts. This can take much practice, dedication, and making a decision and a full commitment to see the world through the eyes of what can go right instead of what can go wrong. You have to catch yourself anytime you are acting out or speaking out negatively and immediately change your tune. This could be tough because a lot of times it's habitual. You're just so used to doing it that you really have to stop your patterns of thoughts and kind of reverse it. No one really wants negative energy to permeate their lives, yet many of us allow it. But we allow it unconsciously based on past conditionings that suggest an inevitable outcome to certain situations. When you overcome that conditioning and realize that the future is not cast in stone, that you have more control over your circumstances than you can believe, then you can begin to consciously design your life.
So number three would be write down what you want. When you write down your goal, what your goals are, your energy begins to vibrate closer to really what you want. it's like striking a tuning fork and making the first adjustments on a guitar string. It brings you closer to a vibrational match that expresses, and it's like committing to an idea.
And the fourth reason is visualize. You begin feeling what you want inside of you. The more you visualize and feel how good it is to have what you want as a part of you, the more you bring your energy into alignment with your desire.
The next one is affirmations. Remove energetic blockages to manifesting. If you don't believe you can have what you want, you are putting up an energetic block. You are matching your energy to what you believe you can have and not necessarily what you want. So by constantly, you know, having negative reactions and emotions, we can end up manifesting those negative thought forms into action. So really be mindful.
The sixth reason is feelings. If you feel what you desire vibrating as part of you, you become the instrument in tune with the tuning fork. Feel how awesome it is to have and do what you want. Feelings are the most powerful vibration lifters. You can talk and talk to yourself, but unless you really feel it, you won't raise your vibration.
Then we have gratitude. Be thankful for what you have now. The positive energy of gratitude raises your vibrations to a higher state. Think about good energy as light and high, and negative energy as heavy and dark and low. You can use love to clear your energy of past negativity and begin climbing to high vibrating energy. I really love this one because it's like you can do this with meditation.
Mm-hmm.
You can do this with Reiki. You can do this just by, you know, walking
outside.
The power
of thoughts.
It really is. You know, seeing a small child like smiling over here, you know, picking flowers or
the little things in life. And it really does add up and help make big changes.
It really does. And it's like those little things, like my husband and I went shopping a couple nights ago, and there's a little kid in the shopping cart. Every single person he went, rolled on by, he was, I don't know, maybe like a year or 2 years old. Hi. And it, you know, it just makes
brings
you
joy.
Smile. Yeah, it makes you smile real big. And at that point, that little hi that from that little kid just really makes you smile. And smiling, and then that positive feeling, boom, your vibration has gone up.
Yeah.
So that's just awesome.
Number eight goes pretty much with that, radiate love. Love is flowing energy, and energy that permeates everything with light. Flow feels good, right? It's soothing, smooth, gentle, uplifting, and kind. By contrast, hate is a forceful energy that pushes against everything and damages it. And if you are sending out forceful energy, that's what you'll get back. Spend time every day sending out waves and waves of love.
That's a good, yeah, it's exactly.
Love.
Even when you have those people that just get on your last nerve, you know, even sometimes you're at a point where your nerve's almost shot for the day. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have this, that person who may get on your last nerve and you just want to whatever. Or those people who post those, sometimes they have Facebook pages, like their pictures, like they make these funny faces or they make certain faces where you're just like, seriously. But it's like, love, I love
yeah,
you anyway.
Love. We're only human. Everyone makes little mistakes.
Yeah.
And being able to overlook that and just forgive helps a lot.
Definitely. So it's really, all of this is really a big part of having control of our own energy and knowing really what makes us tick, you know, and everything else. So now we're really going to move on to ways to protect yourself and cleansing your surroundings. So I want to begin this part really by saying that intention is key when doing any method of clearing, cleansing, and or protecting. Always have calm, relaxed mindset with positive and loving thoughts. Try to visualize the negativity, clearing, just kind of moving away. If you do any method, don't do it with like a blah, you know, nilly-willy mindset or questioning the whole process as you're doing it. Unfortunately, it won't work as well or really take at all. So intentions and mindfulness is key. And
taking control of the space.
Absolutely, yeah. It's your home. You know, it's your object. It's what your car, your work, you know, cubicle, wherever you are, shuffling papers, whatever you do. Even if you're a custodian, that's your broom.
Yeah.
Like
your energy should be feeling it more than anything negative or
right.
something affecting you.
And don't do it like with a negative thought, like don't touch my room. But be
with love, like
with
everything.
Love. Like it's my room, it's happy, and maybe, you know, and this may sound crazy to some of you, but if you love that room, let's love everybody who touches that room and just send positive energy to every person who may use it.
Mm-hmm.
Or sits, if you share a cubicle, like a desk area, same kind of thing. Like try to have, it's a, you know, when
yeah,
you have
well,
a call center, it's a little
yeah.
tricky, but you know.
It works though. People, the love is like a wave, which energy, negative or positive, like you said. So if you send out the love, people are going to feel it and it'll just be passed on.
Yeah. And it's super, super important for our first way really here of like cleansing and clearing, which is smudging. Smudging is an old practice reaching as far back as, believe it or not, the prehistorical era. Burning different herbs, plants, and some flowers together can not only remove a negative spirit and negative energy, but it really, you know, has been scientifically proven that the practice may actually have life-saving implications by purifying the air from harm and bacteria. So really with smudging, what this is we're looking at, like, it's like a bundle. It's like a round, almost looks like a big cigar. I think
more
that's the best way to really describe that. And it's sage, white sage, clary sage, you know, sometimes has lavender, seagrass in it and so forth. And it's wrapped with cotton string. And what you do is you basically just light one end of it. And it you get a lot of smoke, so you may want to open the windows a little bit, you know, take out the smoke batteries and the smoke detector.
Okay.
And you want to start kind of down low, which is like at the opposite corner of the main door where you first come in. And you want the smoke, sweep it with your hand, or some people use a feather. And you can say something as simple as, I clear this space in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, add religion into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I call in my protector guides, and believe
mm-hmm.
it or not, my grandfathers.
Yeah.
I know they're going to watch over the family. I always say angels, guides, and grandpas, and that's what we stick with. So,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's been going on for so many years. Like, my grandmother and her sisters, who I effectively call the aunts, have burned, like, palms from church
mm-hmm.
after Easter for protection, things like sweetgrass and so forth to help really move up energy. So you kind of just sweep along going in a counter or a clockwise rather clockwise motion around each room, just sweeping it and saying, you know, like no, you know, clearing out all negative, lower and toxic energy. So be it, or, you know, adding in the religious aspect
mm-hmm.
as well.
Whatever feels right to you is what's going to work.
Mm-hmm. Top to bottom, basement, attic, everything you have access to.
You could also use incense. Incense can be very effective in clearing out negative energy. This isn't as strong as the smudge would be, so daily maintenance would probably be better with this one. Even though you could cleanse with incense, just as you do with sage smudge, the process takes much longer, and you would have to use a few sticks at one time to get more smoke to clear. Essential oil and incense works better because there are more purities to the oil than the perfume ones. Some incense you can use for cleansing and protecting are sage, sandalwood, frankincense, myrrh, Nag Champa, lavender, sweetgrass, or any variation of those.
So, yeah, this is my favorite thing to do. So what I do is called like my daily maintenance ritual, and I will burn 1 to 2 incense a day, one in each of the most occupied rooms of my house. And I leave the doors of the other rooms open so the smoke can kind of trail out of one room into hallway and into the other rooms. When lighting the incense, I will say some words like, I light this incense with intent to clear out any and all negative, lower, and toxic energies. And I am Catholic, so I will say in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and so on. I will also make the sign of a cross with the incense before I place it in the holder. I make incense bottles, and we sell some here at the Academy, and those work great because then the ash isn't flying
yeah.
all over the
place. It
makes
it a lot easier. We use ours almost every day.
Yeah, every single day. And my husband come home from work, smells like a head shop in here. What'd you burn now? You know, sage or
protection.
Whatever.
Protection. We're making protection.
Protection and positive. Bring those up. Okay.
Okay. You can also use sage water and sprays. clearing the energy home or office, wherever you are. It just doesn't have to be where you are most of your time. It could be anywhere. Like I said, even if you're at the office for a couple hours and it just doesn't feel right to you and you want to clear it. Sage sprays are really effective. They have a nice, pleasant smell, and they could be used in a situation where you cannot do smudging because of smoke. We use them a lot of times at the psychic fairs in between readings and the Reiki healings, because you can't exactly start making a smoke signal or a circle in the middle of a fair.
Yeah,
people might call the fire department. So the sprays make it a lot easier. And like I said, they smell really good. So then your area is clean and it smells clean.
Yeah, I will. I think some of you have seen me do this some of the time. Amanda's with us tonight too, so she's kind of laughing over there because she has seen me done this. But I, as soon as the person leaves, I don't spray it in their face or anything. But like as soon as the person leaves, I will spray myself. I will spray that chair and I will shake it out, because for me, I'm a high level empath and the energy just stays. And I will still be getting information for the person who just left while I'm reading the next person, and I have to write that previous stuff down to get it out of my system, but then I have to, you know, like move on to the next. So really these sprays, and one of our classmates actually, Hope, she here at the Academy, she made sprays, and oh my God, I have two bottles, and I swear by these things, I love them dearly. But so if you're local and you would like a spray, come on down to the Academy at 17 Lincoln Road in Amherst, New York.
First size too, so they're perfect.
They are.
If at in-law's house or at work or a psychic fair, you could just bring it with you because it's nice and convenient.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, so salt. A lot of people will ask me about what's the deal with salt. Some people have asked about black salt. I'm not 100% too keen on black salt. I'm not really sure how that one works or if it's the same, but a line of salt or a bowl of salt water to wash the floors and the walls with. Basically, you can take salt, and I generally use either sea salt or Himalayan salt. And for each, like, it's mainly like really the main doorway, and you can put a line of salt at the bottom of the door. And what I'll say is, no harm shall pass this door, no evil shall pass this door, so be it. Or if you can't really get the salt there, because if that line gets broken up, then it's like really, you know.
We'll usually smudge, and then I'll mop the floors with salt water, kind of just seal it in. I feel like it protects the house.
That helps
kind of
a lot, too, when you have the hardwood floors and stuff like that. I have thrown salt on my carpets. Let it sat there for a couple minutes and then vacuumed it up. But you can also take a bowl of salt and put it in the corner closest to your door, or if you have a door where there is a corner, you can stick it, you know, right there, right behind the door when it opens. And really you just say the same thing, no harm and no evil shall pass this door, you know, so be it. And it really helps, believe it or not, something that we eat. You'd think that since we ingest so much salt that things would stay away from us. Not really, because you know what happens when we eat? It goes someplace, it comes out. So, you know.
Buffalo is the city of, like, brotherly love and good neighbors, and most of the time the year we're covered in salt.
From the roads.
I wondered if it had something to do with it.
Yeah, right?
The Himalayan salt lamps. The salt lamps can be turned on, and they're more effective when they're turned on. They help to purify the air by releasing negative ions that help remove particles in the air and help to remove it. Some of the benefits include reducing allergy and asthma symptoms. It can ease coughing, increase energy levels, actually help you sleep better. It has a very soothing effect that can be quite relaxing in the whole home. So when the air is being cleaned by the lamp, it helps in the removal of stagnant energy and helps keep a more positive balance.
And I have to say, I somehow required like three or inquired, I don't know, whatever that word is. I don't know. Now I'm confusing myself. It's a long night, folks.
Acquired.
Thank you. There's my fumble. So I have three of these lamps now, birthdays, Christmas, and just because I wanted one. And I have one in my living room, and this, it goes on. I turn it on every night, and I will leave it on from about 8 until about the time I go to bed, which for me is like 2 a.m. every night. I have asthma, and I was born with it, so it's always been a struggle for me. And I have to tell you, like, I have also struggled with the overuse of an inhaler. Since I started using this lamp, My inhalers are lasting longer. I'm catching my breath better. I'm not even having those moments where I need to, like, I'm having an attack.
Yeah, because it takes the allergens right out of the air.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't believe it, but you know what? It works for me. So
it works for Ryder, too. It works for my son. They put one in his room, and he had way less asthma symptoms, no attacks, nothing.
Okay. Yeah, and with these purifying the air, we still have to really, you know, use smudging and everything. And smudging, I should note, too, can be done. I do it, like, once every 3 to 6 months because I do the daily maintenance. I don't have to worry too much. I mean, my house is, like, Fort Knox anyway because I bring everything. I'm constant, so. But anyway, moving on.
Holy water. You can obtain holy water from your church or Catholic store. You place a few drops on your thumb. You can make a cross the holy water wherever you feel you need it, such as the back of a door or doorway or floors even near you. Just like I said, dip your hand in it lightly.
Mm-hmm.
I have even put it on, like, on a feather and kind of just like
That's
let it
really
go through the
idea.
Air, almost like rainwater. If that would make sense.
But, no, seriously, yeah.
It's like purifying the area.
We should actually take some people to church and bathe them in the holy
water. Well, I mean, holy water, I think it's free at the churches. So, and it's very easy. So, I mean, it's a very easy, convenient way to cleanse your home. And I think a lot of times it is overlooked because it's kind of outdated, a little bit old fashioned. But it's a great thing to remember.
It is. And, you know, the funny thing is, too, is Brittany and I are ordained ministers. So I have, cause my father was a very religious man and he had given me a little vial of holy water and I won't use it. That's like from my daddy. So I'm not, you know, nothing's going to happen to that, but I have another vial I'll take to church and go whoop into the container, just close it up. My pocket gets wet, you know, but, no folks, I'm not stealing from the church. I will ask the priest. It's okay. You know, but, so yeah. So, but holy water is definitely something that will help because it's blessed. It is blessed water from the Catholic Church or, you know, whichever your denomination is.
Clapping bells, wind chimes, and singing bowls. Loud noises such of these can help clear out and break up any negative and stagnant energies. Again, just have a positive mindset while doing it and visualize the negative clearing. Like when you clap the bells or the wind chimes, imagine positive energy just emanating from the noise of the chimes and the chimes, bells, bowls, whatever you choose to use, the energy from those could carry on a positive energy throughout the home.
The next one is my favorite. crystals. Crystals are very effective in protecting and cleansing. Many people use them in really in their everyday life in ways of healing, making grids, placing them in areas of the home or office, and wearing them on a daily basis. I'll be just discussing a lot more of this, you know, part with the crystals class here at the Academy on April 20th. But some crystals that are great for protecting, cleansing, and bringing in just more positive energy and love are black tourmaline, black obsidian, Apache tear, amethyst, tiger's eye, which I should say tiger's eye is another good one for
healing.
People who have asthma, you know, grounding, protecting, selenite, clear quartz, fluorite, and rose quartz, just to name a few. Always remember to cleanse your crystals so that they can continue to work for you. And, you know, it's something with crystals having energy and us feeling the energy of them. Like you really want to make sure they are cleared. And two methods that I use, because some crystals, believe it or not, cannot be in water and they cannot be in salt. So basically, what I do is I will use sage leaves. I will put them in a couple sage leaves that helps kind of cleanses them out. The full moon. This is a big one. Every month, once a month, we have a full moon. And that full moon helps when the energy is at its highest point, when it's full, it clears and cleanses those crystals right out. Another method to use is the smudging. You can do like a sage incense or even smudge and just kind of run them through and stuff like that.
People actually burying them too and absorbing like the energy from the earth.
You can
make them stronger.
Right. And with that though, because that's a great way to do it, especially with the full moon, is make sure it's on a night where it's not going to rain. Because, like
true.
I said, some stones like selenite, labradorite, conite, these will start to break down. Even your Himalayan salt will break down with a lot of moisture and so forth.
Protection bags and dyed herbs are also a really great thing. To place dried herbs in a drawn string bag or hang them from the hinge of a door or place at the top of the door. They can also be placed anywhere you feel they are needed, such as bathroom, office, glove box of the car, and so on. Some herbs for cleansing and clearing and protecting are sage, lavender flowers, thyme, rosemary, juniper, salt, black pepper, roses, cinnamon, clary sage, sweetgrass, and bay leaf. We also carry protection bags for sale at the Academy here if you're local. It's a lot easier to swing by and pick one up. Like I said, you can make them yourself,
mm-hmm.
but we do have them available for a purchase here.
Yep. I have a few on display. Ivy and I both have some on display. I've made several over the years for people. And I put a bunch of herbs in there that help with things like, you know, cleansing, clearing, helping you feel better, protecting, and so forth. And it's really just kind of like almost like a little modge podge, you know what I mean, of like herbs and stuff like that. So really you just kind of hang them wherever you feel that they really are needed. And it helps with those energies and so forth, just kind of help clearing things out and keeping things calm and relaxed. Yeah. Taken care of and, you know, and everything else. So, but yep, they are available here at the Academy. So that concludes our show for this evening. Again, for a full list of classes, visit the IvyLeaguePsychicAcademy.com. And to book a reading with Reverend Ivy Rivera, Psychic Medium, visit IvyRiveraPsychicMedium.com or find her on Facebook under Ivy Rivera. If you'd like to contact me, you can find me on Facebook at Teresa Tree Matuzak Psychic Medium. And Brittany, where can they find you?
It's on Facebook as Reverend Brittany Rose. I think I have it under Psychic Consultant.
Cool. So
or
like
on the Academy page. I'm always commenting on stuff on there. So
right.
You can find me, I'm sure.
We're around. You can even come here. We thank you all for tuning in tonight. You can catch the next show in 2 weeks on Sunday, April 9th. Brittany will be your host for that show, and I will be with her. So
looking forward to that. That should be fun. So hopefully.
To the voices.
Yes.
So, I will be here for that show and here on Ask a Medium at Academy Talk Radio, where we are raising up the next generation of lightworkers. Have a great night, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.